Amen. We're going to look at, we'll start in Ephesians 4 tonight, looking at the thought of what's that mean when the Bible talks about renewing our minds. Amen. And just kind of the whole thought there. And I love that word in the midst of that word renewing, the word new. Amen. We all like new things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read Ephesians 4, a little passage here, beginning in verse 17. In the midst of this, we'll find that phrase, and then we'll look here at this text and some others on what that phrase is referring to and how that can be practically realized for us in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness." This passage is interesting as it starts, because it kind of describes in those first couple of verses the kind of where the world is. And verses 17 through 19 there, when you read through there, I mean, there's not a lot of joy in that. There's not a lot of hope in that. There's not a lot of happiness in that. There's a lot of, quite honestly, just it's kind of depressing, right? That's kind of the whole thought there, is that they're walking in the vanity of their mind, meaning emptiness. And I think that's where a lot of people find themselves. And especially this time of year, there's a lot of sadness in the month of December. And there's some reason, I mean, because less light in a sense in each day, that would add to it. Kind of a more in the house type of time, not an out. And people do, you know, enjoy being outside. The sun does kind of cheer people up, things like that, as far as the northern states. Even with the holidays, though, a lot of people find themselves more and more depressed over the holidays, because they bump in and see different people, and everybody kind of has on their good side, and a lot of times people feel like they're being, you know, they're kind of missing out on something, if you will. They don't have that joy and happiness like many others do, and so we kind of see that here in this particular text, and it kind of sets that up. And this is where we were, right? Before Christ, this describes our lives. And that's just how we live. This is how the world lives. Now, verse number 20 says, though, "But ye have not so learned Christ," right? So Christ has a way to instruct his people, teach his people, first changing us from within, but then instructing us on how we are to live. And it's different than the way the world lives, right? And we should not strive to be like the world. If anything, they should want to be more like us, right? Because there should be a genuine peace there and a love there. There should be a genuine contentness within our lives. And there ought to be purpose. There ought to be a reason why we live. And so that's what this text is going to show. So verse 21 says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." So if so be that you've heard him, right? That you've heard the gospel, that you've responded to the gospel, and that you've heard the truth and responded to the truth. And that's what Christ has taught us in and through, so that we would know him, first being born again and then being able to live for him. And so then it says in verse number 22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Now, that is a direct reference back to verses 17 through 19. It's saying that you put that off, right? That you put off this old way of life, that you where you walked in the vanity of your mind, and where your understanding was darkened, and that you were alienated from the life of God because you were ignorant of his truth. You didn't know it, and the blindness of your heart. And who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to the sinfulness. Being past feeling means that there's nothing else to live for, right? This move upon the world to engage in unbridled lust. That's what lasciviousness is. The sexualization of our world and the high impact and everything has to be done better and better and better and better all the time. this whole sensationalism, that is because that they don't have anything else to live for, right? So they begin to live for those things, and it's unbridled. There's no end to it. And to work all uncleanness with greediness, right? They don't care what it takes. And they're greedy. They want something out of it. They want something for them. And so we've not learned that from Christ. And it says that we're to put this off, right? And so he's introducing something here, that there is a new and living way now for the believer. And we as Christians should experience that new and living way. But we're not going to experience that new and living way through the old way. Does that make sense? You can't experience what God has for you by maintaining or trying. God did not come to make that old way a little better. No, he wants that thing put off, right? He gave us a new life. That old has to pass away, right? And so that's what he's teaching here. And it says in verse number 23, verse 22, that you're gonna, that we would put off the conversation, that lifestyle, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we find that word renewed there. And we're going to find this word renewed a couple places. And here we find that this renewal needs to take place in the spirit of our minds. Now, I mentioned that we all like new things, right? A new car is nice, right? Kyle says, absolutely. Helen says, yeah, it would be. Amen. It could be a new house. Nice. New clothes, new pair of shoes, right? Maybe a new pair of glasses. Maybe a fresh new haircut. New something, right? We like new things. Someone gives you a gift, and it's you open it up, and it's this old thing that's already been used. You'd kind of feel like, well, what is this? I was kind of expecting a new gift, right? Something that wasn't already wore out. We like new things. Amen? Can I say the Christian life for us should be new every day? We in our Christian life should have that sensation of newness every day. The question is, do we? Because the old and dead way is depressing, but God's way is refreshing, right? And if it's no longer refreshing, this message is for you. Amen? Because we need to be renewed day by day. And that renewal takes place in the spirit of our minds, it says in verse number 23. So it's going to tell us how we can get this renewal and this sensation and reality of newness every day of our Christian lives. And so it says, first off, to experience this, you're going to have to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We got to stop trying to live in the old and expect God to bless it. No, he's not. He's not going to do that. So we need to put it off, put it away. And then it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, praise the Lord. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so Christ in this passage describes for us some very important things about this new living way, this way that will renew us in mind, in the spirit of our mind, day by day. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time together. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this thought tonight that you gave, for me, no doubt, for all of us, and just pray that you would help us with it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the freshness that you desire for us as Christians, moment by moment, day by day. We shouldn't be some dried up, stale, bored Christian, discontented with everything in life, God, because you've given us a new life, and that new life is exciting. It's vibrant. It's full of life, God. It's of you, and God, you are alive. You're not dead, and so that life that you've given to us is the same. So help us with this, I pray. Give help tonight to each of us to understand the message as it comes forth, and might we be willing to apply what you give to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word renewed means to renovate. It means to make new, to reform in a sense, right? You start with something like a lump of clay, and then it just needs reformed into something new, right? New day by day. And this is talking about being renewed in the spirit of our minds. And how we think about things means everything. How we consider things is vital. How we see things, the perspective, everything. This is absolutely vital for us. In Ephesians, we have the putting off and the putting on principle, of which we've spent much time with. And we saw the need to put off that former conversation and the need to put on that new man, right? And that new man, which is created in righteousness, or after righteousness and true holiness. So after we are saved, we are to put out of our mind the old thought process of life, which was really after deceit and lusts. We're to put that thing off, and we're not to live by that way anymore. We should abandon that way of thinking. After we are saved, we're to put out of our mind things like lying. Lying should not be something that we should operate in anymore. We don't want to be liars. We don't want to be those that deceive others. We are people of truth, not people of error. We want to put away anger and wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's just not it's not really a tool for us to pull out of our toolbox and use to bring about righteousness. We're no longer to give place to the devil like we used to. No longer. We don't want him to be around. We don't want him close. We don't want him there. Even if he does offer us something. We want to put away stealing. We don't want to steal. We don't want to take what's not ours, right? Put that away. Put that off. We want to put off corrupt speech. We don't want to speak corruptly, because corruption is a decaying thing, and we don't want to cause people to lose or to be destroyed through our speech. We want to help people. We want to edify. We want to put off bitterness. Bitterness is where somebody offended us, somebody did something that we didn't want, we didn't like, maybe something that hurt us, and we have picked up an offense, and now we hold them accountable. We believe they owe us something, and so they're not paying us, and so we get bitter towards them. And there's nothing in the Bible that says bitterness yields anything good, right? It's always bad. It's a root of bitterness, and it springs up, and it troubles, and it defiles. And so we want to put off wrath and anger and clamor. We want to put these things off. We want to put off evil speaking. We don't want to be engaged with others with evil, which, remember, evil is one letter shy of devil. Good, one letter, you take one letter off, you have God, right? Evil, you add a letter to it, you have devil. And so we don't want to speak devilishly. We don't want to engage in evil speak, right? We're going to put this off. That way is the old way. And so we want to get rid of it, because God has given us a new and living way. Now, after we made room for the renovation, because if you're, Cassie's well acquainted with this, when you're doing work on the inside of your house, you have to get rid of the old, right? I learned this principle when I was young. I didn't have a lot of money, and I had bought a car. My mom said that my parents would never buy me a vehicle, because they said, well, my mom was in the picture, that my mom and stepdad, they wouldn't buy me a vehicle or even have help me, because they said I wouldn't appreciate it if they bought it. And they were right. And so I had to work to gain money to buy my own car, but I couldn't afford a really nice one. And so it had rust and all that. And so not only did I realize what it was like to buy my own car, I also realized what it was like to fix my car up. And so I knew nothing about these things at all. I learned how to do body work, Bondo, how to cut out pieces of metal and floorboards and put new in and all that. Learned all kinds of stuff on my own. I just didn't have a guy figure in my life to teach me those things. And so just what I could do. But I learned this. In my early days, I remember being in the garage doing some things, and it came to me. Before something can be nice, it has to get ugly. Right? And I was actually sanding on my car, I think this was actually my second car I was doing this to. Yeah, it was. And I was sanding on it doing some Bondo repair and all that. And, you know, when you first start that out, yeah, there's rust over things, but you're also sanding down the areas that are still good so you can blend that thing in and make it right. And it just struck me that, man, for something to be nice, it has to go through a pretty rough process to get there. And so just that realization on how that works. And so you go through that process to get rid of the old, to get rid of the bad. And if you don't get rid of it and you just cover it up, it's not gone. And it will come back through, right? With corrosion and things like that. If you just take some paint or a primer or a Bondo or anything, and you leave that stuff there, and then you just kind of go over it and do that, within a year or so, it's coming back out, maybe even less than that. And so it all needs cut out. So in the renovation, whether it's a car, whether it's a house, tearing out drywall, tearing out whatever, if you tear out a wall and you find rotten wood, you don't just put up drywall on top of that rotten wood. No, you have to deal with the rotten wood. You got to cut that stuff out and get rid of it and put new in and on and on and on and on and on. And so before we can add what God says to put on here, there's no room to add it unless we first put off the old man. Does that make sense? Now, this is important because a lot of Christians try not to do that. A lot of believers try to keep that some of that old around, and they still try to add the new, and they're never consistent and never faithful, and it's because they're trying to add something where there's not room to add it to, right? And so what needs to happen is, this is how God put this together, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. We first have to put off what's corrupt. We got to put off what's bad, so that then there's room now to put on that which is good. And that's this process. And notice what he says to put on. So once the renovation's well in place, we've put off this bad stuff, now we can put on the good stuff, which will renew us. Now, what renew here means is this. Not only is it made new as you put that on, but just like with the old man, there is a decaying that takes place continually, right? Like we all know what rust is because we have cars and we live in Indiana, and so we know that once a car starts to rust, that it continues to rust and it gets worse. It keeps eating away. That's going to oxidize and eat away that metal. Well, that's what the old man does. That's what sin does. Sin is corrosive. It keeps decaying. But here's where it gets good. The new man does the opposite. Where the new man, like you put on the new man, those things that we're going to say here add, those never decay. They actually bring life, and they do it continually. They breed newness. They breed a newness of life. Do you see that? The old man breeds decay, and it's corrupt. It goes downward. But when we put on the new man, it's continually adding a newness to us. Man, if you get a hold of that, it'll almost make you shout. Does that make sense? It does the opposite. And these are the things that it says, that the Bible says here that we are to add. It says put on labor. See, some people they say, you know, oh, I'm working myself to death and all that. Well, put that off, amen. Work yourself to life. If you labor in what God has given you to labor in, it's not a detriment. It's life-giving. That's why I understand where people in ministry, they say they're burnout. If you're burnout in ministry, then you're working in the flesh. If you're burnout in ministry, you've taken something on that God didn't give you, and you're operating in your own strength and not in God's. I'm not saying there's not a time to be refreshed in a different way, like the apostles, disciples would go off, rest their flesh for a while and all that. But there's a difference between the need of resting of our flesh and us mentally having a breakdown. There's a big difference. Because remember, we're renewed where? In the spirit of our mind. So I can, my body, it gets tired. So does yours, right? But our mind shouldn't. We shouldn't grow weary in mind. We're not to grow weary in well-doing, right? And so when we labor working with our hands in that which is good, there is a freshness to it. Like for a mom who works 24/7, right, moms? Your flesh may get tired, but if you know what you're doing is of the Lord and you're laboring and working with your hands in that which is good because you know God gave it to you, all good gifts come from above, then there's not a weariness in mind over it. And there's a newness to it. There's a freshness to it. That's what this passage is saying. And by the way, same for a guy, no matter what he's doing. Some guys work a lot of hours. The question is that what God's given you to do? If it is, then it's refreshing. If God did not give that to you to do, then it's of the old man. You need to put that thing off. And you need to add unto yourself what God gave you to do. Does that make sense? Because if you occupy your time in what God gave you to do, it renews you day by day. If you occupy your time in what man gives you to do, your flesh, your old man gives you to do, it winds you down and wears you down day by day. That's what this passage is teaching. We're to put on giving to those that are in need. Holy Spirit wrought giving. It refreshes us. It breathes life into us. We're to put on speech that edifies and ministers grace to the hearer. And that kind of speech is refreshing, not just to the hearer, but to the one that's actually speaking it. We're to put on kindness, usefulness, being affable towards others and helpful, amen. And as we do that, that type of a putting on, it contains with it this renewal that adds a newness to our lives moment by moment and day by day. The Christian life, the Christian experience, when done this way, should be the most exciting life on planet Earth. It should be a life that's out of this world rewarding, because I am doing what God has made me to do. I am fulfilled, and He has built within this putting on nature here a renewal for me day by day. I'm to put on tenderheartedness, and I'm to put on forgiveness. These things do not cause a decaying reality to me. It's not wearing me down. These things build me up. These things add life to me as I engage in them, and it renews the spirit of my mind. Now, this is how our spiritual house is to be renewed. Our spiritual house is to be renewed with the new things that God has given to us. Imagine living in a world where you buy an item and it never breaks down, it never grows old, it never wears out. As a matter of fact, imagine a world that when you buy a car, the car gets better and better and better the longer you own it. That is how the Christian's to be. That is what God has made us. When you add God to the equation, this is how he makes, this is what he does, all things well. This is how God works. This is how God works outside of a sin-cursed world. Amen? Look at Romans 12. Now, this is possible. This is, by the way, when we talk about a Christian growing, are we talking about a Christian growing old and becoming feeble? No. What are we talking about? A Christian growth. What is that? Stronger? You're stronger in faith? Stronger in... Absolutely. Being more Christ-like means we're getting better and better. This is how the Christian's supposed to operate. We are supposed to be getting stronger, more knowledgeable, more able to recall scripture, better at witnessing, better at counseling. The Christian life is meant day by day we get better and 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 better until the day we die. That's what the Bible shows us. And by the way, if every day you're getting better and better, what's your attitude like? It's great. It's wonderful. Because every day is better. Today's better than yesterday. Because I'm growing in the Lord. And when I add to, when I put off that decaying life that's robbing me every day and dragging me to the grave every day, when I put that thing off, and I put on these things that renew me. That's the renewal. Renewal is a word that's used in our economy now a lot, right? Renewable energy. Well, you already have it in Christ. We already have it. God, when God's involved and we get sin out of the picture, that's what we expect, is that renewal happening all the time in our lives. Well, Romans 12. We just want to make sure to do this right. We have to make sure we get this rust out. We got to get this decaying stuff out, because that's what drags us down. And we can't have it hanging around. Remember, because if we add the good on top of the bad's still there. We got to get that bad out. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Why? Because when I'm conformed to this world, what's it do to me? It wears me out. And it robs from me. It takes from me. It corrupts me. Right? I have to. See, a lot of times we have a wrong perspective of God. We think, oh, God just doesn't want me to have fun. Oh, God's just trying to keep some good thing from me. That's what Adam and Eve thought. Eve especially, right? God's just trying to keep me ignorant. God's just trying to keep me in a box. God doesn't have my best interest in mind, but that's not true. The reason he tells us to get rid of, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, lust the eyes, pride of life, all that, don't link yourself there. It's because those things hurt us. They pull from us. They pillage from us. They cause us problems. And God says, you got to get rid of that. If you're going to experience this renewed day-by-day life that I have for you, he says, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. If you're going to experience that, you got to get rid of this old stuff because it's taking from you. You need to be renewed day-by-day. And he says, what I have for you will do just that. So, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the, there it is again, renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in order to experience this, we must sacrifice ourselves to this reasonable service of God's use. We can no longer be conformed to this world. We must be okay being transformed by the renewing of our mind, which means, transform means to be, it's like a metamorphosis, to be changed. To be transformed there in our mind, it means we need to think differently, right? When we add the things of God to our mind, we will think differently. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4. Practically, how is this accomplished? We already saw from Ephesians that we put off some things. Meaning, and by the way, we put them off practically, but before we put them off practically, we must, remember, we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind, so we must put them off in thought. We're supposed to cast out every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. And so we bring those thoughts. So the battle's in our minds. And so we're putting off in our mind these things. And if we put it off in mind, we'll put it off practically. And then we're going to put on in our mind these things, which are the things that God has for us. And if we'll do that, it will renew us. It will not destroy us. It will not weigh us down. It will help us. How is this accomplished? 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, watch this, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's shining unto us to give us the knowledge of God. It says in verse 7, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The knowledge of the word of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's the earthen vessel? It's our fallen flesh. It's our bodies which are not yet regenerated, not yet born again. And what is the treasure? The word of God. The knowledge of the word of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Oh, this is great. If we in our flesh could live the Christian experience, what miracle would that be? It wouldn't be. What testimony would that be? It wouldn't be. But if we, who, by the way, in our fallen condition, there's none good, no, not one. All my righteousnesses in my flesh are as filthy rags. In my flesh, I cannot please God, right? Okay, so here I have the knowledge of God in this earthen vessel which cannot please God. So that when I do please God, we know it has to be of God and not of man. Amen? Is that awesome? We are troubled on every side. Now, here's what's going to happen in this text. He's going to show the troubles that we go through. And that if we will live what Ephesians 4 gave us, what Romans 12 gave us, if we will live that, we will find that through the hardship and issues of life, they will not destroy us. We'll actually see a renewal taking place. It would be like somebody as hard on their car as Luke is. And every day you look at that thing and make, man, look, that thing's getting better and better. That should be the Christian experience if God is involved. Okay, look at verse number 8 again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. This should be our experience. To the natural world without this treasure, the word of God, to the natural world that only operates in the vanity of their mind, it's gonna, of course, people say, how are you making it through this tragedy? Testimony time. Well, let me tell you how, right? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body. Remember, the body is that earthen vessel. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. All the while, we have this broken down body that has health issues and stamina issues and all kinds of issues. We're in this body, and yet God's life is shining through in a way that people are like, what in the world? It's like all that you're going through, and it just, man, Amazing how you're able to handle that and succeed in that and prosper in that and do that, all of that. It is a how? God's word. God is doing a work. It's not me, it's him. You see, verse number 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Yes, death is at work in our flesh. But what others see should be life, because that life that they see then can be life in them. Amen? We have the same spirit, verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. By the way, I believe means I have faith. I speak based on that faith, and we know from this morning what that can bring. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So through this process, God gives us the word of God. As we respond to the word of God, we put off the corruptness and we put on his right things into our lives. God then gives grace to those things so that we are renewed day by day, moment by moment, so that he can be glorified. Even though we live in this decaying earthen vessel, we are life-giving in mind and in action by the power of God. For which cause, watch this, for which cause means because of that. What's that next phrase? That's right. Why? Because we have a continual renewed source within us of life. That's why. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perisheth, we're still getting older, amen, yet the inward man is renewed, how often? Day by day. Woo! That's amazing. Amen. For our light affliction. You might say, my affliction ain't light. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it is. And if I have a continual power source of God, it is. Because now I'm able to endure. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. In the grand scheme of things, life is a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. So, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not on the things which are seen, because if we do that, we're going to get depressed. If I look at everything I can see, I'm going to look around, I'm going to be like, oh man, all this war, all this turmoil, all this heartache, all this disease, all of this going, oh man, it's depressing. So, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's why we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. That's why we keep our eyes fixed there. Because if we let our eyes get stuck on this old earth and what's going on here, then it might cause our focus to be off. And we won't be renewed day by day. We're going to grow weary and depressed. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, then, you must reject the temptation of growing weary and quitting based on what we see and at times feel. We must reject the temptation to let the pressures and issues of life move you back to your carnal positions. This happens a lot in Christianity, that Christians don't take advantage of the times when they're not being pressed hard on, and in those times they should be growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. And then when hard times come, instead of doubling down and getting into their word and finding answers and all that, they revert back to what they know carnally. And that's why they strike out verbally. Right? That's what their flesh knows to do. And the love of Christ is not constraining them at the moment because they're not embracing that renewable source. And so the old popped back up because they really didn't get rid of it. They kept some around and they just added some new on top, but now that rust is coming back through, right? We can't let that happen. And so we must reject the temptation to let these old pressures and all that move us back to a carnal position that really didn't get eradicated. So instead, in the face of affliction, we must live in light of the knowledge of God by faith. And so as we do this, God applies his grace to our lives and he renews us day by day. You can turn over to Hebrews 10. It's easy to add forgiveness to our life, like Ephesians 4 said, when I'm not currently needing to forgive somebody. Right? Because I don't have anybody right now that has hurt me. But the challenge to that will be when somebody hurts me. Right? And then I'll see, did I really put off unforgiveness? Did I really? And put on forgiveness? Did I really put that off and then on? And that'll be shown in that time. And the reality is that if I didn't and I operate back in unforgiveness, what's that going to do to my life? It's going to act like a cancer and pull from me and eat at me and corrode me and destroy me. Is that right? To the Christian, this is of the Christian. This happens in our lives. This is just the way it works. But if when I'm faced with that need to forgive, if I operate in what God told me to put on, what will that do to me? It'll renew me. Does the world believe that that's the case? No. They think we're crazy. Can you tell me you forgave that person after they did that? That's right. And you know what? It's the best thing I've ever done. It's enabled me to pray for them and love them, help them. What? Help them? They hurt you. I can't explain it. All I know is I followed the Word of God, and it's amazing. You see, it's renewing me day by day. Do you see that? Okay, Hebrews 10. Only a renewed heart and mind will appreciate the newness of Christ day by day. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. We're going to draw near to God. We're going to draw near to Christ, his flesh. We're going to draw near to this holy of holies, the blood of Jesus. We're going to draw near to this new and living way. You have to get a hold of this. You must draw near to this. You can't just stay afar off. You got to be right in there. And we're going to draw near with a true heart. Okay, heart, spirit of the mind, right there together. If I let those decaying things that we were told in Ephesians 4 to put off, if I let them stay around, then I am not able to draw near in a true heart in full assurance of faith because I've not followed the Word of God. But if I, with all sincerity, will just follow God in this, then I can draw near to God with that true heart, with that heart that's living in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is talking about as we apply that Word of God, how God, aren't you glad that God, when we respond to his Word, he eradicates that evil, wicked, guilty conscience through repentance, by faith? Hallelujah for that. How we are cleansed, our bodies are cleansed from the filthiness of the flesh, and we can actually have a clear conscience before God by the pure water of the Word of God. There's another let us. By the way, we want to live by the new and living way. In that new and living way, let us draw near with a true heart, and then let us, verse 23, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And when will we be challenged to waver? When things aren't going all that good in our lives. That's the proving time. That's the testing time. That's the time, like Ephesians or Isaiah 40 says, that we are to have our strength renewed, where we can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. We mount up with wings as eagles by the power of God, because we've put on His strength and we've gotten rid of that decaying garbage that was just destroying us. Amen. Let us then hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Based on this context, what is this provoking and exhorting about? Putting off that corruptness, putting on that renewal, that renewing of our mind, those renewals, so that we can live the Christian life and experience as God desires, so we can be that express image of Him on earth, so we can spread His life to others. Because as long as we're living in that old way, we can't do it. Again, we all love new things. But can I say the best new thing that I have found is the newness of Christ day by day. The newness of His mercies and the newness of His love and the newness of that relationship and the newness of the Word of God and just the newness of prayer, the newness that God gives us every day. Serving God properly should never get old. Never. What are some things that God tells us in the Scriptures are new for us? Well, Psalm 40 says that He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. There will be a new song to our life day by day. Matthew 16, 17 speaks of God's people speaking with new tongues. Can I say the first new tongue we should experience is a tongue that doesn't use profanity? That's a new language for the believer. Amen. It might include some other languages on earth and all that, but we ought to speak with that new tongue. In John 13, 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye should love one another. That's right. That's a new commandment. It's not a commandment we can operate in the flesh. No, we don't want to love in the flesh. We tend to want to hurt when we're in the flesh. But in the Spirit, that new commandment would be that we love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. It's a new commandment. We get to operate in the newness of love day by day. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 says that we actually well, let's read the verse. It says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. So we get to operate in the newness of the New Testament. New Testament's a new covenant. It's a covenant, an agreement between us and God. And that covenant should never grow old, but the meaning of it should grow deeper day by day, that new covenant that God has given unto us. So many aspects to that we find in Hebrews as well as in Jeremiah. Lamentations 3 and in verse number 22 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The reality of God's faithfulness should be new to us every morning. The reality of God's compassion for us. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. And as a faithful high priest, because He knows, He administers to us the grace we need day by day to make it through. His compassion should be newly just worked through and experienced day by day, and His mercy for us and for others, we should experience fresh every day. There should be a newness to our Christian lives. A newness. Not an old drudgery. Not a discontentness. Not a feeling that I'm missing out. Not this, you know, weighted down. No. As a Christian, I should feel this reality of newness day by day, and I will. If I'll just lay myself on that altar and I'll not try to keep sin hanging around, not try to keep my old life hanging around, not hanging on to that corruptness. If I'll let go of all that and live by the new and living way, which is by faith in the Word of God, I study, I learn, I grow. Every day I experience, I walk in the Spirit. I'm not making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If I will do that by the Scripture's promise, every day I live as a Christian should be fresh and new, and it should never grow old. Isn't that amazing? That's what God has for you and I. Amen. God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for just a little encouragement from your Word. Lord, what you have in store for us is absolutely amazing. And not just in the future, but day by day on earth, walking in the Spirit, walking with Christ, walking the Christian experience should be a fresh, something fresh, God, that we experience every day. And God, if we have not been experiencing that newness and freshness, God, something's wrong. And the answer to that is probably found in either Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, or Romans 12. And the rest of the Bible as well, but those three areas in particular. Tonight the message intrigue us enough to go to you and ask you where we are, where we're missing this experience, where we've allowed some decay to stay around, some things that we shouldn't, that's draining us and pulling from us. Might we ask you, God, that you might show us that we might then experience this freshness and newness day by day as your children. Thank you, God, for what you've given us tonight. Help us with it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.